Got a little bone to pick with the programming department. Would it kill you every once in a while to play a little fog hat?
Steamrolling into the final hour of our broadcast week. Glad you're hanging out with us. What a gorgeous day it is outside. My word. Sunshiny in my heart as well. Okay, got a lot of news to get to. I got so much news to get to. Let's get right to the big lead.
The big lead. I told you so.
Yeah, as you just heard in our newscast, Susie Levine, the woman who has overseen the disaster that is Washington State unemployment security, which provided neither unemployment benefits nor security, but still they called it that. Susie Levine was the head of the agency as so-called Nigerian scammers broke into the system and stole $650 million tax dollars. They lowered the security threshold, let the scammers in. I'm not saying that they willingly or knowingly let them in, although I continue to think that this whole thing stinks to high heaven. Susie Levine was a big Democratic bundler, raised money for the campaigns of Barack Obama, Pete Buttigieg, has worked tirelessly for Democratic candidates. And when you raise money, which is the lifeblood of politics, you are rewarded. And so Susie Levine was given a $180,000 a year job. And I think the unemployed in our state, and I'm curious, I would really love to hear from you. You can text me. I'll share some of your texts at the bottom of the hour. But if you're one of the people who called just hitting redial, redial, redial for hours on end because you were trying to get your unemployment benefits and you tried for days and weeks and months and couldn't get through. If you are a taxpayer and you know that $650 million was stolen by, they tell us, Nigerian scammers, what do you think when you hear the quotes that we just had in the newscast? Jay Inslee thanked her for her great service, for the wonderful job she did. I don't think the unemployed in our state, data daddy, think that she did a great job. I don't think the taxpayers think she did a great job. I don't think the business owners who are seeing a 7 to 10 to 20, one guy told me it's a 20-fold increase in the unemployment tax because they have to hit up businesses to make up for whatever incompetence led to this massive security breakdown and fraud or inside job or whatever it was that siphoned off all of this money. So Susie Levine, instead of getting fired by Jay Inslee, she gets hired by Joe Biden. She gets kicked upstairs to the Biden administration, where she will have a job that's so far undisclosed. They will announce what it is on February 1st, they say. But our reporter, Nicole Jennings, she talked to State Senator Mark Schessler, who says it's unbelievable that Joe Biden is rewarding this person.
I'm very disappointed that the Biden administration chose to reward incompetence. The honorable thing would have been to have resigned months ago.
So how does something like this happen in the world of politics?
I think it's no coincidence. The governor's chief of staff is on the Biden transition team, and they found a soft landing place for an incompetent but effective Democrat bundler.
Ooh, I like straight talk from politicians. And what about the fact that the governor says that she did great work at ESD?
Our offices tirelessly worked to make this happen. Our legislative assistants didn't sign up to be the auxiliary arm of ESD, but they did it.
Susie Levine getting rewarded by the Joe Biden administration. Good luck, America. Up next in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Top story.
I told you at the beginning of the show that I'm very disappointed by this. So yesterday, I was very critical of the Bellevue Teachers Union, that they will not let their teachers go back to work. And as I told you yesterday and again today, some of the stuff they're saying just has zero basis in fact.
Anytime I go into the building, I'm putting my family at risk. So my husband, my kids.
Okay. A teacher in the Bellevue School District saying anytime she goes in the building, she's putting her kids at risk. And then the head of the teachers union, Allison Snow, saying,
"We will all still show up to provide educational opportunities to our students tomorrow, but we will not put our lives in person on the line for it."
Putting our lives on the line. So yesterday, and again a couple of hours ago, I cited the most exhaustive study that shows zero child-to-adult transmission in the schools. 100,000 students and staff in a American Association of Pediatrics study. Peer-reviewed, massive, zero kid-to-adult transmission in the schools. And I got a email from a pilot, and he said, you know, the fact that teachers are saying, you got to vaccinate us before we'll do our jobs to the maximum, which is in school, because remote learning is a failure. The pilot said, what about my flight attendants who are in an aluminum tube for 6 to 8 hours at times with adults? There is adult to adult transmission. And he says, it's just nonsense what the teachers union is saying about all of this. Now, what I was very happy about is the teachers union was going to come on and do an interview with me, because I always, when I disagree with somebody, I always reach out, and because I would love to hash it out with the teachers union. And I told you a couple of hours ago, and I just wanted to update it because we just got an update, that I was going to record the interview before I went on the air today. And I chatted with her for a couple of minutes, very pleasant, very strong connection. And then just kind of jokingly, but as an icebreaker, I introduce her as I started rolling on the interview, and I go, "So Allison, your teachers disagree with me and they're trying to get me fired now, huh?" Goofing around, joking. And all of a sudden, no response, nothing. And then I hear, "What, are you there?" And I go, "Yeah, can you hear me?" And then her phone genuinely sounded like it was breaking up. And we couldn't record the interview, so we said, okay, we'll do it live. We'll do it live! And so, Nicole, let me bring you in on this now. So we were going to get them live at 12:30. She still wasn't in touch. Her assistant said she couldn't get a hold of her. And
well,
then
she sent me
offered
one text, to be clear. She sent me, after she broke up with you, and I sent her a text saying, "Hey, we lost you. Can you reconnect?" She said, "Having trouble with phone, contact my communications person and here, you know, this person."
Yeah.
And I thought that was strange because we didn't go through her to begin with. I talked to her this morning. We talked for a few minutes, and she said, "No problem. I'll talk to him before the show." And then you talked to her, and everything was fine.
She was very pleasant to you. She and I had a nice chat for a couple minutes before the recorded interview. And
she
specifically
seemed to agree that it was not necessary to have you fired for something like this.
Well, you told her the teachers had posted on Facebook this, you know, contact management at Cairo to the Facebook post didn't explicitly say this, but I found out from management that almost everyone who contacted wanted me immediately fired because I wasn't just, you know, repeating what I believe to be untruths from the union. And I have data to back it up. So, but you told her about that too, right? You said, "Hey, a bunch of teachers trying to get us fired."
I did. Like I said, she seemed to imply that she agreed it was silly and said she'd be more than happy to talk to you about it. And so then I sent her a text after you lost her, and she said, my apologies, call dropped, and then said, make this appointment through this other person. And then I responded with, well, how about live? And I've sent her two texts since, and I have not received a response. And her assistant actually didn't receive a response for a couple hours, and then she just responded with, have meetings this afternoon. So
she can't come on. And then you said, you said, well, can we do it on Monday?
Yep. And she said, not willing to schedule because they're not sure what's going to happen over the weekend, but to reach out again.
It's very odd that they seemed very willing to come on and talk. And again, I'll take them at their word that there are phone problems, I guess. But I don't know why they couldn't resolve that by Monday or hash things out or make a plan and follow through on the commitment that was made. But anyway, we will keep trying. And I want to hear their side, and I want us to hash this out, because I'm very confident of everything I'm saying about this. And I do think this is critically important, this issue. All right, next up. Oh, wait, no, there's one other. While we're on the school issue, there's one other story I wanted to follow up on as well. Last week, we told you about the president of the Pasco Teachers Union, a guy named Scott Wilson, who said parents who want their kids back in class, and for most parents, it's because remote learning has been disastrous. It's heartbreaking. I just heard from a retired educator of 34 years, and he says watching his five grandchildren and what they're going through with the remote learning, he said it is infuriating. And he's disgusted with the teachers' unions refusing and you know, fabricating health concerns. They just want to teach from home because it's easier. And I don't know why they won't say that. And then there are people, you don't know what you're talking. Yes, I do. It's easier. And then everybody says, oh, why are you still working from home? Well, kids aren't committing suicide and overdosing because I'm doing my radio show from home. And we're doing our job at an optimal level. We have some of the best ratings in our history right now. So that's not true for teachers. Kids are flunking. They're at less than 50% of optimization. They are not able to do their jobs remotely. All of the facts, all of the grading, the testing, the anxiety, the depression among kids, it's hurting kids. I'm not hurting a soul by doing my show from home. And I'm certainly not hurting in the end results. So stop with that comparison, because it's ridiculous, okay? There aren't other kids and other families whose lives are on the line because I'm and plus, we're still, for the most part, since I'm one of our senior employees, they haven't even asked me to come back into the building. So, okay, but over in Pasco, the parents there, they're desperate to get their kids back in school. And Scott Wilson, the Pasco Teachers Union president, said that if you want your kids back in school, then you're a white supremacist.
Thank you, Scott Wilson, as president of the Pasco Association of Educators. There are decisions to be made. You stand on the lawn of the U.S. Capitol as people break down barriers and head to the doors. Do you follow? You stand at the governor's mansion, the crowd breaks down barriers to enter the grounds. Do you follow, or do you choose a different way? We must not ignore the culture of white supremacy and white privilege. We have seen it in the Free to Breathe, Reopen Everything, rodeos and rallies that received county commission.
Oh, you're like one of those rodeo people. Is that true for all you Bellevue parents who want your kids back in school? Are you one of those rodeo families? I know Bellevue would be Rodeo Drive. Pasco, it's rodeo. But are you a rodeo person, you Bellevue parents? Because you want your kids back in school, you white supremacist.
Support. The same commissioner directs our health district. No one wants remote learning. No one wants remote learning, but it is the right thing to do.
Well, wait a second. If no one wants it, how's it the right thing to do? If there's no health danger, which is what every, you know, in Bellevue, 700 kids have been in class all year. Zero cases of transmission. Private schools, kids have been in class all year. Not one case of kid-to-teacher transmission. So can we stop with all of this? A lie repeated often enough doesn't make it a truth. But anyway, after he called everyone who wants their kids back in school white supremacists, and I'm going to give so much credit here to the teachers in Pasco. And this is what I've been saying for a long, long time. Great teachers, you got to stand up to your union, because your union isn't doing you any favors right now. But the Pasco teachers have come out and they are speaking against what their union leader said. They say that it's giving all of them a bad name, which I don't agree with. Nobody should be lumped together. Everybody should be judged individually. And I know lots of great teachers. There were Bellevue teachers who were in class with their kids yesterday and again today because they're more dedicated to their students than they are to their union. And anyway, over in Pasco, they called it alarming comments made by the union president. We can no longer stay silent, a letter from teachers said. This is not a representation of what we as teachers feel. We sacrifice and strive to teach students of all colors, cultures, and backgrounds. So great job. Teachers standing up against their union in Pasco. There are teachers standing up against their union in Bellevue. There are other districts where, and even though teaching from home is easier, there are teachers who are dying to be back in class with the kids because they don't want the easiest path. They don't want the path of least resistance. They want to be great teachers. And I know there are I know teachers that my wife works with who desperately want to get back in the class. They love their kids. They miss their kids. And yes, teaching from home is easier, but they don't care. They're not in it for the ease to get the most money for the least work, which is what the union wants. They are in it to be great educators. And I have nothing but love and respect for those teachers. So I'm not saying anything horrible about teachers in general. I think the teachers' unions, and I sure wish the union president had been able to come on as we had agreed to today. But we'll try again on Monday, because I would love to give them an opportunity to answer my response to the way the story has been presented to the public. Okay, there you have it. That is your big lead this hour.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
But you know what? I got a bunch of other news that I still have not yet gotten to, and it's important. It involves our whole region. Why you might have to start carrying a gun just to drive to the grocery store? What? Also, what's happening down in Tacoma? That's an I told you so. Get to all of this as we roll on the Dory Monson Show. My Dead Mouse vibe with extraneous audio at the beginning there. You know, Chris, who was, what was that?
I didn't hear anything here.
Oh. I know what it was.
Oh, was it you, Nicole?
It was. Chris turned me on while my mic was still on, but I was feeding my cat.
You know, last hour, did your microwave go off while you were on the air?
No, that was my niece, and she had toast in, and it was like the dinger on my oven thing.
Yep,
lots of stuff going on around here today.
You're just providing all kinds of bonus audio today during the show. Okay, all right. Hey, Nicole, you know what we have not mentioned yet today? I have a Spiffy's update, and it is shocking. And we're going to reach out to, we had Rod on just 2 days ago. Rod Samuelson is the 81-year-old owner of Spiffy's Restaurant down in Chehalis. He opened on December 1st. He emailed me right at the end of November and said, hey, my employees have to pay their mortgages and feed their families, so I'm going to open in defiance of the governor. Well, it became this huge sensation, and all of a sudden, a bunch of people started rallying for standing up against the governor's mandates, which is rooted not in medical science at all, as far as I can tell. But we found out that the state of Washington had imposed fines against Rod and Spiffy's of $400,000. Well, on Tuesday, Rod was in court, and he said, yeah, judge forgave the fines. And that's how I thought it truly was, that the judge had forgiven the fines, because that's what Rod told me. Well, we got an email right before I went on the air today from a guy with LNI, the State Department. And he said, no, we are still going to enforce fines against Spiffy's. And so I started emailing back with Tim at LNI. And he said, we gave them 7 violations on December 7th. We gave them 8 violations on December 16th. They didn't appeal within 15 days. And so we are going to enforce and we are going to try to collect $145,000. So I want to update everybody on this, because Rod, I think, and I hope I'm not the one breaking this to Rod if he's listening this afternoon, but Rod 2 days ago was under the impression that a judge had forgiven the all $400,000 in fines, but State LNI tells the Dory Monson show that they are still going to go after this restaurant owner. Rod's 81 years old. He has been creating jobs and paying taxes and feeding people there in Chehalis, right off of I-5 on the highway that goes up to Yakima down there. He's been doing this for 50 years. January 1st was the 50th anniversary of Spiffy's. And LNI tells the Dory Monson show that they are coming after Rod for $145,000 and that there is no appeal. He said, LNI guy told me, employers have 15 working days to appeal. The two above were not appealed. The 15-day period is over for both. So I'm going to have to follow up on this on Monday. I'll get the LNI guy, and we'll try to get Rod back on the show. But I don't think Rod has $145,000 just floating around that he can give to the state of Washington. And again, how outrageous is that? There are no known cases of any transmission from Rod having been open. But he was telling us, he said, one of my employees has been with me for 34 years, a couple others for 24 years, another for 22 years. He said they couldn't get through to unemployment. Susie Levine had the number blocked or whatever it was when people got nothing but a busy signal or a message and getting lost in a phone tree. And they couldn't feed their families. So Rod opened up. And people responded. In December of 2020 was his top grossing month in 50 years of business. And when I thought, okay. And by the way, he closed the doors because of the judge's ruling. The state said, yeah, if you close the doors and don't do any more violations, this is what Rod told me 2 days ago. He said, yeah, they said if I close the doors and now my employees are able to get unemployment, so I'm closing the doors. He said, I'll get that next PPP. It was PPP. Businesses can get federal money. He said, I'll try to get that. But he also said, I'm 81 years old. I don't want to fight anymore. But it looks like the state of Washington is going to go after spiffies. And this is an exclusive here on our show. I appreciate the guy from L&I because he reached out to us directly and responded right away because I said, how much are these two fines? And he wrote right back and said $144,600 roughly. So that seems awfully heavy-handed by the state of Washington. Awfully heavy-handed. And it breaks my heart to think about this good man. And you know, I've talked to Rod several times on the show, and I've heard about Rod just, yeah, 100 times from people who know him, people down the Chehalis area. People have told me about his philanthropy and his faith and his, you know, just having a little roadside eatery for 50 years. Now the state of Washington says, no, we are going to wipe him out. And I don't know if it wipes Rod. I mean, I don't know anything about his finances, but $145,000 ain't chump change. So that is the breaking news update. As I've been trading emails with the State Department of L&I, they say there will be no appeal, and they are coming after Rod for $145,000. That breaks my heart for Rod. I'll try to get both sides of that on Monday's show. Okay, let me take a quick time out here, and then our favorite sound bites of the entire week, including a number one awesome audio that's going to be tough to beat the rest of the year. It's the front runner for the best soundbite of 2021, even though we're only 22 days into the month. You'll hear it next on the Dory Monson Show. At the bottom of the hour, I said, I'll tell you why you might have to carry a gun when you drive to the store. I'll pay that off in full on Monday. But our news partners at Cairo 7, they did a great story about how carjackings are skyrocketing. And they are violent. They're dangerous. They're often armed. And we are seeing once again with the legalization of drugs and the politicians who want to reduce all crimes to non-crimes. We're seeing violent crimes being visited upon the people of this region. So I'll give you more details on Monday, but be careful with all those carjackings out there in the region. Okay, with that as mere prelude, it is time to get to our favorite sound bites of the entire week.
This is Dory Monson's Awesome Audio Clips of the Week.
All right, let's see here. Let's start at the inauguration where J-Lo decided to get in a product placement plug for a 21-year-old song of hers when she was doing an otherwise beautiful rendition of This Land Is Your Land.
From sea to shining sea. Bajo Dios, indivisible, con libertad y justicia para todos. Let's get loud. This land was made for you and me.
Apparently, Let's Get Loud 1999 J-Lo hit, and needed to sneak that in there. Also, from the inauguration on CNN, a guy named David Chalian saw two blue lights shooting up into the sky from the Lincoln Memorial. And what did it make? I looked at it and I thought, oh, look, there are two blue lights. Here's what the dude on CNN saw.
Those lights that are just shooting out from the Lincoln Memorial along the reflecting pool, it's like almost extensions of Joe Biden's arms embracing America. It was a moment where the new president came to town and sort of convened the country in this moment of remembrance, outstretching his arms. And contrast that with that video you just saw of a disgraced president on his way out at his lowest point in his presidency at the very end here, by himself, fighting for his political movement to live on.
Uh-huh. Yeah, Joe pulled us all in with his giant blue light arms and then sniffed our hair. Okay, politicians, they tell us what to do, but they won't do it themselves. That inspired a great song from Remy at Reason.com.
Yo, man. Yo. Open up, man. Yo, what you want, man? My constituents just caught me. You let them catch you? I don't know how I let this happen. Wait, where? The place next door, you know? Wait, I thought you ordered all the restaurants to close. Man, I don't know what to do. Just say it wasn't you. All right. Voter came and then they called me red-handed. Eating at the place next door. Were there a lot of people there? Picture this, it was not that vacant. Like 100 peeps or more. How could I forget that I had Bandolindo gatherings? Just a prime example of a really big hypocrisy. You don't understand, we're not like other creatures. Rules do not apply to us, we are the leaders. Voters can't be trusted to be indoor eaters. They are more contagious after all, they're mouth breathers. Just tell them it's important to follow all the law. How any violation might kill a grandma. Why you do what you want, even pardon in-laws. Mr. Mayor, how would you prefer your foie gras? Donated? Sir, we saw you at a party.
It wasn't me.
Eating at the French Laundry.
It wasn't me.
You even had the clam chowder.
It wasn't me.
Sir, we got you on camera.
It wasn't me.
You said we can't be super spreading.
It wasn't me.
So I missed my brother's wedding.
It wasn't me.
You jailed a barber for hairdressing.
Wait, I have a wedding.
This is getting upsetting. Photo came and then they call me red-handed.
Oh, that's well done. What's good for thee is not for me, the politicians tell us. And then the early front runner for soundbite of the year, Chuck Schumer in the U.S. Senate this morning, talking about the impeachment of Donald Trump. He sounds very excited about the impeachment.
But make no mistake, there will be a trial, and when that trial ends, senators will have to decide if they believe Donald John Trump incited the insurrection against the United States.
Well, they said they were going to be uplifting. Okay, I got to get out of here, man. It's a beautiful afternoon. I hope you have a fantastic weekend. Tom and Curly are coming up next. God bless you in these crazy times, and I will see you back here Monday. High noon. Hello.
Show's over. Come on. Seriously?
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You really have a fantastic audience.